Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Welcome back, networkers, to another episode of the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, the reluctant networker, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Debbie Peters, the networking guru, my retired business partner, and of course, my mom, not retired. Hi, Mom.
Hey. Hi, Greg, I think.
What, you want to retire from being my mom? I mean, come on.
Maybe I need to. So I can retire.
So how are things going?
Things are going well. It is a Sunday, which is unusual for us to be recording, but that's, you know, how the schedule plays out.
With our business, I was on a networking training, or not a networking, I was in a business training this past week, and then you, the week before that, were traveling down to South Carolina, was it?
Greenville.
And how did that go, by the way?
It went really well. Yeah. And I was very, very, very impressed with how well the conference went. We have had Tracy Edwards on our podcast, but it was amazing to watch her in action. And obviously, she knows how to do this.
So. Yeah. That was my impression just in working with her. So
yeah, it was fun to watch her.
Well, very good. And I also saw, I was on Facebook, I saw you got your first harvest of potatoes in.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is the only harvest.
No. Okay. You only get one. I understood. Yeah. Sometimes you can like uncover them and pick them as.
I don't know about that. They never bloomed, which worried me, and they had wilted, and some of them were dying, the growth above the ground. And I was afraid I had the potato famine.
Oh no, we don't want that.
So if it was disease, I wanted to get rid of everything and get it burned.
Yeah.
So I, dug into it, and there were potatoes. So I figured, okay, I'll dig them out. I don't know why they didn't bloom and how they made potatoes without blooming, but the mysteries of gardening.
The mysteries of gardening. Well, I'll be anxious to hear how good they are. So
okay.
So I guess we should talk a little bit about networking, since that's kind of what this is supposed to be about. So this actually was a question that came in from a friend of ours, Kristen Gapsky. And she was talking about how businesses and especially established businesses and chambers can make newer businesses or micro businesses more comfortable and develop better relationships with them. And we thought that'd be kind of an interesting one to cover, because they if you look at it just on the surface, they do exist in kind of two different worlds. The things that bigger businesses are focused on are not what the startups and the micro businesses are focused on. So how do they connect with each other?
Well, you know what? Actually, they're both focused on the same thing. They both want to be successful.
Okay, well, there's that.
And, there's obviously with the bigger business, a few more details that, happen to make that.
One or two, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas with the micro business, it's probably pretty simple. However, let's just say they're going to a chamber lunch, or maybe they're even talking with a banker. They're chatting with a banker at the bank to, tell them about their new business. And why would anyone want to say, you're not good enough for me to talk to? Because first of all, you never know what they're going to be in 2 years. Right. Maybe the banker who can't loan money now, because, most bankers either can't or won't or don't want to lend money to startups, because 9 out of 10 of them fail. And, the banker doesn't want to be held or left holding the bag. But the banker needs to develop relationships with people, with business people in their early stages. So as they grow and they do get to the point where they're a viable organization and that they would be someone that they wanted to loan money to, that person who started the business and now is 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever into it, and they need a loan for maybe some capital improvement, whatever, they're going to remember that banker that took the time with them and explained, the ins and outs and whys. And, I hadn't thought about this when we first started thinking about it, but I have a friend This goes back way, probably 25 years ago. Her name is Sue Hughes. She used to work for National City Bank, which is now PNC. Mm-hmm. And she was very much like that. She would meet with people and she would say, you know, I can't loan you money right now, but let's talk about what the steps are that you need to take in order to get into position so I can loan you money in a year or so. And so she basically acted as a consultant, really, or a mentor, helping them to improve, to get more successful. So, and of course, because she had taken the time with them and not made them feel stupid, they came back to her. And mm-hmm. she was a very successful banker.
Well, and that's, we, it kind of falls back on this whole idea we were talking about, is that you shouldn't be poo-pooing anybody.
No.
You know, don't worry, first of all, whether they are a big enough company. First of all, treat them like a human being.
Yeah. That's
where the connection's going to come from. I mean,
yeah.
If you're the chamber, why not start talking about, hey, what do you like to do when you're not? I love making connections with people and then finding out they're the CEO.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I do the same thing. I'm the one that says, so, you know, after we chat a little bit, so if they have a name tag on, so tell me what you do at ABC Company. And that's when I find out, oh, I'm the president.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I actually have to run everything.
Yeah, right. So, but you're right. I mean, especially folks that are attending chamber events, like the chamber lunch or after hours or whatever, the chamber, whatever. The whole goal of a chamber is for the businesses to connect with each other so that they can develop strong relationships and then help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to go to the chamber and say, I don't want to sit with that person because they're not worth my time for whatever reason. And it could be because of size of company. It could be, I know that Kristen, she said, you know, all kinds of diversity, whether it's ethnicity, the way people dress, the way they look, whatever it is that someone else might go, oh, I don't want to talk to them. They're not looking, as you say, at the human and saying, what do we have in common? And well, it's so easy to find out.
And even if you want to ignore that, I mean, look even further, that just because their business is not at a point where they're ready to make use of your services, whatever those happen to be, every single human being out there has resources, has information, has connections that could potentially benefit you. I mean, just because, I know that my good friend, Joe Marr, you know, he does sales training. Well, maybe you don't need sales training, but he also has a great training facility that he is often willing to put to use for other people. And, mm-hmm. and that's part of his generosity, part of what the resources that he's willing to give back to the community. So, you know, get to know these people.
Yeah.
Even if only on a mercenary level, there's still a lot of benefit there.
Yeah, I know. I remember you had spoken to one of the groups where people who have lost their job go. Oh, yeah. And what's it called?
It was called Shifting Gears. It's not been around for many years now, but it was for executives who found themselves in transition and they
usually
in their late 50s, early 60s. So
yeah.
It was really hard for them to find a new position.
Yeah. And I remember one guy told you that he didn't want to, you know, go network because he didn't have anything to offer.
He had nothing to offer except that he had been 30 years in the banking industry. He had traveled all over the world and he'd put two kids through college. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You have a list of best practices for life.
So, you know, as you said, everyone brings something to the table and it's just our job really to find out what that is. And to then, if we can't use it, we probably know someone else that would benefit from knowing that, or you know, knowing how to send their kids to college, whatever that is. And another thing is that, for example, a lot of times, like the multi-level marketing businesses, like the Mary Kay's or the Arbonne, some of the others, people kind of, larger business people, not larger business people, people who own larger businesses or work in larger businesses, sometimes tend to turn their nose up at those mm-hmm. people. However, you never know who they know.
Right.
And I can give an example. My friend Jen Wensky, who is no longer with us, she was a Mary Kay, a very successful Mary Kay salesperson, but still Mary Kay. And many people would go, you know, I don't want to talk to her. It's Mary Kay. Well, what they didn't know, because they didn't take the time, was Jen was well networked. Her husband was a doctor, so of course she, you know, had a lot of those contacts. She played tennis with this group of women that were, you know, really successful and well connected also. And then she was just a like a sponge of people. When she died, there were so many people that, you know, were part of her life because they wanted to be around Jen just because she was so much fun. And so the people that said, Mary Kay, I don't want to get to know her, they missed out on so much. And so there's lots of reasons that we want to make sure that as larger businesses, and larger business can be, or older business could be 1 year and maybe $10 more, that we do reach out to the people that are new and that are smaller and say, hey, you know, tell me about you.
Well, I think some of this goes back to the whole mindset. It's why are you showing up at that networking event? If you're showing up to sell, then you're not going to be successful at this. Your focus is in the wrong area. If you're there just to look for new clients, then that's just not going to work, first of all, because no one wants to be sold to. But if you're there to actually focus on making relationships and not worrying overly much about where those relationships are coming from, I did a sort of a mind experiment. I mean, it was part of one of my speaking engagements some time ago now. I said, okay, there are two people at this networking event. One of them is your perfect client. And all you need to do is talk to them and let them know that this is what you do, and they're going to be buying from you. The other one is not. Seems like a nice guy, but it's just not in your wheelhouse. Which one do you talk to? Oh, by the way, did I mention the guy that's not your perfect one? His wife happens to be a buyer that would buy 10 times the amount of that first. You don't know until you actually talk with people where their connections are going to take you. And I've noticed, I've actually tracked for a while, I was tracking all of my speaking engagements and who connected me with them and who connected me with that person. And ironically, at the center of that was the Ann Arbor Chamber. But I never got a speaking engagement from the Ann Arbor Chamber or anyone I met directly there. It was always I had formed the connections. And then the results came from the connections that I've formed and the connections they gave me. It's all about that web that we're developing. So.
And you just never know. So, yeah. So I think Kristen's question was, how can the smaller business people break, you know, break through and talk to the more seasoned ones? And I think that they just have to reach out and say, hey, I'm new to this. You know, tell me about the chamber or tell me about, you know, banking. I'm not even sure how I would go about getting a loan. Would you be willing to sit down with me? I mean, so just be curious about people and about whatever it is that you need to know. People love to help.
Oh, be curious, be interested, be fascinated by the people around you. I mean, that's such a big thing. And I think in some ways also, it's kind of like that story from about the guy at Shifting Gears, that we have a as a micro business owner or a new business owner, a startup, we have this perception of being at a lower social tier, and it feels hard to break that. But if first of all, if you're at a chamber, most of the people, at least I don't know, this has been my experience. If you're at a chamber and you're talking to someone who's from an established business, most of the time they are really good networkers also. They're rarely really looking down on you because if they've been there for any length of time, they know the value of the chamber is in the connections you make. It's not in the sales you try and get at the event. So stop putting them on a pedestal and treat them like, again, a human being. Most of them, have families. Most of them go on trips. Most of them, just like you do, and treat them as such. And lo and behold, you may actually discover you have something in common other than business.
Always you will.
So, is there anything else we should talk about with regards to this?
No, I think really three major things that all of us need to keep in mind, whether we're a micro business or an established business. One is, who are you to diminish someone anyway? We're all in this together. We can help each other. The second thing is, they may have resources that you haven't even thought about. And the third thing is, you have no idea who they know.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning into our program today. If you enjoyed it, please comment on our Facebook pages, and the information is in the episode notes. We'd love to hear about your experiences with making connections at whatever networking events you have, especially ones where you might have been surprised at the level of connection you were making. If you'd like to hear more, of course, please do subscribe. We come back every single week, and we would hate to miss you. Until next time, go out and make some great connections. Take care, Mom.
Thanks, Greg. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.